Welcome to the Hair Metal Rules Podcast, where we celebrate all things 80s hair and glam rock. Join us as we dive into the world of spandex, big hair, and killer guitar solos with your host, Big J. From iconic bands like Motley Crue and Def Leppard, to the lesser-known gems of the era like Lillian Axe and Babylon AD, we cover them all. So grab your hairspray and leather pants, because it's time to rock out with the Hair Metal Rules Podcast. Well, tell me about Parish Records. I remember Parish Records way, way back, and you guys, you got some great artists that they didn't make it huge, but they made their name known, especially on the Sunset Strip.
Yeah, it's just basically like when I was out, I did an interview just the other day, and I had a thing called Monroe Promotions when Cherry Street was going out in, you know, Hollywood and stuff, and we had a P.O. Box, and I did ads in Metal Edge and Rip Magazine, right. And they even had a band, Lit. They were called Razzle. They're in high school, actually. Worked with those guys, Jeremy and AJ, and still keep in touch with them once in a while. I've seen them a couple times here in Texas, but I did ads, you know, and back then it was all tapes, t-shirts.
Right.
So I kind of got my feet wet, and then we had our three-song cassette that sold 8,000. We ended up getting it through distribution, which was started out in Tower Records first on Sunset, but once first store we put it in was Tower Records. Joe up there was a manager, and he really showed me the ropes of the business and got us hooked up with distribution through Relative. It was called Important Distribution. It was Relativity Records, Steve Eye's old label, and out of Hawthorne, or was up there somewhere, a bit of California. And they got us in all the Music Plus stores, Tower stores. We had a full color 24x36 posters, and all this promotion, all the stores would charge labels thousands of dollars, and they did it for free for us. And it was I didn't realize that till later. They go, you realize you're getting $20,000 of promotion for free, because they charge the labels to, have end caps, to put an end cap or put on sale. And I did that even recently with stores, and just tons of stuff. They really believe that we're going to be the next Motley Crue or Guns, Motley Crue mostly, or Poison, that, because we were packing out, and the salespeople, the Music Plus and Tower, all of them would come to our shows. They saw our Whiskey show when we had just hundreds of people with posters and signs. We just shot a quick video. And that's when the night we met Janie Lane and Eric Turner from Warrant, and ended up working with Eric Turner later. But basically just getting my feet wet. When it came in time, we actually kind of had a bunch of deals. We had a guy at Capitol Records had our full color poster up in Capitol Records, Mid Malavi, and he got in an argument with his boss because they wouldn't sign Driver, which had Joe Holmes in it. We knew Butch, the drummer. He was in the same rehearsal place as us. He really wanted him to sign Driver because, Joe Holmes went on to play with, Dave Lee Roth, but he wouldn't do it, so he quit. So we turned down other offers and other people. K&C won us on the Pure Rock album. They used did this album every year, and most of the bands got deals off that stuff, even with MCA or anybody. You could get a record deal, MCA, because K&C were in the top five requested unsigned bands. We turned stuff down because this guy, Blaine Malavi, goes, oh, dude, don't do that. Capitol Records, we won't, because then you can't. K&C had rights to the part of the song, or I don't know how. We didn't get into the contracts, but so, basically we passed up a lot of killer opportunities listening to some of the wrong people. We had a lot of great advice. People helped us out, but then, dude, out in Hollywood, man, there's a million bands, a million things going on. You never know. You got pick door number A, door number B, door number C, and you pick the wrong door or you pick the right door. So, but basically how Parish came along is that we already had distribution with our three-song cassette and all this stuff. And we just said, we're setting our skirt. We had independent labels, and, we go, let's just do it ourselves. So we came up with the name Parish. We had distro in New York and LA through Important Distribution. We're going to get hooked up doing the same thing as what we did, cassettes. But soon after we did the CD, the first CD on Parish Records was Cherry Street, the self-titled. that we actually got a deal through JRS BMG, which is Artie Mogul, which he was on Capitol Records. You know, he's the president. He started his own label. He sold SBK because he had Wilson Phillips and that. He started up JRS right on Sunset, man. Killer office right on Sunset. I was in there every day. And so, you know, we basically pressed there's some of them out there. We only did one pressing, but I ended up reissuing it later. So basically Paris Records started, you know, the first CD, Cherry Street. You know, none of this would have happened if it wasn't for Cherry Street. I wouldn't have Paris Records. And it just went on to where when the band broke up and we had a tour and all that stuff, we went out for a little while. And but then, you know, that was in the '90s, dude. It was 93 by that time. It was like, it was over, written on the wall. So when I kind of moved back to Michigan, I was in Texas. My dad had major heart surgeries and all that stuff. So I came back to Michigan for a little while and ended up staying there 3 years. And all these bands were hitting me up. And then, so I did a compilation. And next thing I know, dude, I'm getting like, I start picking up, the Bullet Boys were coming through Michigan. You remember the band Madame X?
Yes.
Chris, great guy, the bass player from Madame X. He had a club up there with his, at the time, wife Maxine from Madame X. And it was up in Michigan. And he totally turned me on to bands. And Bullet Boys were coming through a lot there. And they, hey, man, you know, they pressed that Acid Monkey CD. And I go, Tom can help you sell it. So when I talked to, you know, Mark, I think it was Mark, and I talked to the bass player, Lonnie, but then they're like, yeah, I'll take like 2,000 or 3,000. I can't remember. They press them and I buy them. And I was all of a sudden, when I put that in Metal Edge ads, then I started getting, you know, orders from Japan chain stores. I mean, it's crazy. I didn't take credit cards back then. I didn't even have a computer. I had a freaking fax machine because people were calling me saying, buy a fax machine. So I was getting orders from Sweden. I'm talking $5,000-$10,000 orders like every week. I mean, it was insane. I had to have two or three college kids coming as interns. And I did it basically out of my bedroom. No computer, nothing. So everything's hard copy. And eventually I bought like a little 486, you know, processor. And Mike Branville, which I work with today, he went on to work with Kiss and everybody. He was just starting doing websites, and he kind of got my first site going, and another guy took over. So started getting on the internet. I don't even know what email was, you know, but it's crazy. It just never like plan anything. It just all kind of, but I had a lot. I learned so much from Cherry Street. Like I had fans, we hooked up stores. We went into stores, got our three-song cassette. I learned how to work with all the retail. And some of those retail places still work with me today that are still around. And so I just kind of learned off the cuff. Just, but yeah, Paris, to turn into a, you know, a lifetime, you know, and to get the music out there. And I've been really fortunate. But people don't realize, though, I basically worked two full-time jobs for the last 30 years, 80 hours a week, 70 hours a week. I basically took no more than like 1 week vacation. Right. You know, a year. So a lot of people won't put in the time. They do it part time. Well, it's next impossible. They have a day job and they do it because they love it. There's out there labels I still work with, and it's a labor. It's, you got to be into it. It's something. It's not like a job to me. It's kind of been a lifestyle. And plus, helping, since I was in Cherry Street, I know how all these bands are, and I've helped bands where I've turned down a lot of stuff. Where if it's a guy with a project or something, but I really try to help out bands, not just do reissues of a band's not together anymore. I try to help out the bands are still trying to play shows and do stuff and give them a shot because they need it, you know, if they're playing shows and stuff like that. So I know.
See, that's what I think is so cool about your whole company. I probably have 5 or 6 CD samplers in my grandmother's basement. Right.
Nice. Yeah.
From, you know, I started listening to this music in 85, and you, Paris ads were probably in Metal Edge Rip around 88, 89, maybe a little bit
before. That's my start. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I would send off for my CD sampler, and, you know, and just, I think what's so cool about your label and your company is you have bands that I've never heard of. I've seen pictures of.
Sure.
But I've never heard, because now you can go on YouTube and you can find Mad Margaret, you can find
Oh,
Cherry
yeah.
Street, you can see all these bands, and the only Rip Magazine didn't really have them, and Metal Edge didn't, but I would always send off for the paper publications that were down in Hollywood that you could
Oh,
flip
really?
through,
Cool. Yeah. Rock
and
City
it would.
News and
Yeah, and it Rock City News, that was one of
yep.
them. There was Bam, I believe, might have been one. I'm
Bam
not
is
sure,
big.
but it listed like the Grisaries, and it listed all these bands that were playing, or it listed the Whiskey a Go-Go, and you saw the names of these people and maybe a small picture of you guys. But when Paris Records came out, I'm like, okay, now I can actually hear what these guys look like. And the CD sampler was the coolest thing.
Oh,
There may
thanks.
be
Yeah.
three quarters of it that appealed to me per se,
Sure.
and then there was some music on there that maybe I didn't really care that much about. But it's just so cool that I think the whole Sunset Strip movement, I wish I could have lived in that. I lived in that time, don't get me wrong, but I
Sure.
wish I could have been in Hollywood to experience all that and to see all these bands. Cherry Street was one of the coolest looking bands I believe I've ever seen.
Oh, thanks, bro. Yeah,
You
it's the
guys
sound.
remind me kind of a
Yeah,
lot of, you kind of remind me a lot of Rocks Gang, your
yeah.
look. And
Yeah, it's like the samplers things was like, sorry to interrupt you, but the
no, that's
samplers,
fine.
before I forget, because you know, I'll forget 10
Yeah.
seconds, but like when I first did it, and then Metal Edge, Sterling Publications, Sterling McFadden or something, the owner's
Yeah.
son, I became friends with because I accidentally got him on a sales call. I was going to buy an ad, and he picked up. Then I started dealing with him. He actually let me be one of the first labels to ever send out the CD with the Metal Edge magazine, which blew up. And I had a great
Oh, yeah.
connection with Alliance, not Alliance, AEC Distribution out of and I used to carry CMC that did all the warrants and the DOs and D. Snyder's. And so they would cross promote with me in these ads. And I told them, oh, I'm doing a sampler. But back then, nobody did samples. Everybody
Right.
put full songs on these. And I go, look at man, you can only put 16, 17 songs on a CD. And if you put a full song on there, people are not, most of the time, are not going to buy it. They're going to be cheap. A lot of people are cheap. They're going to buy, hey, I got a free song, you know? So I
Yeah.
got to do samples. And nobody, everybody, man, I had so much push against the wall. Like samples are not going to work. So I just to show it, CMC, I didn't want to turn them down. They paid to be on the sampler, paid to be in a double page ad, Metal Edge, and it went out to 5,000 subscribers in Metal Edge. And I had full songs of Dio. Oh, Great White. It was, I think it's D. Snyder. Warrant. Warrant was on there. Oh, Steve Rat was even on one of them. Full songs. And the rest of it were bands I worked with and labels had 1, 2, 3 minute like mixes of two or three songs, all that stuff. Dude. And I hardly sold, even though, because you know, people could go buy their CDs in the stores anyway, but the new bands, and it was funny with the ba last band I put on there at the last minute because I had it all ready to go. He was a killer band, Worlds Apart, sold thousands. I mean, like thousands, though. Like, and people that sample, and where I heard this a million times, I'm not kidding, dude, exaggerate not a million, but hundreds of thousands of times, I had people go, why are you only doing a sample, man? You got a couple samples on here, and I love it. It's great. And it just ends, it goes in another song, and I go, I had to go buy the goddamn CD, man. Why didn't you just put full song? And there you go. That's why, because it made them get hooked on it, and they had to go buy the album, support the band, and support Paris. And it's like nobody did that. And then people didn't realize you could do, like at my newest sampler, 30-year anniversary, I did 99, because that's what you can do, up to 99 IDs on a CD. So back even back then, I put 70, 80 bands on a sampler, you know. And
Well, see,
it's crazy.
that's a good thing about your sampler. Like you say, you're playing a whole song on something. It's like back in the 80s, you heard a you saw a song on MTV, you saw a song on a Headbangers Ball. Okay, chances are that was probably one of the songs that the label picked that's probably gonna be the one that hooks people. Okay, I went and spent $8. I don't even know what the rest of the band sounds like. I know what that
Yeah,
was. I spent
oh,
$8 and then I'm like, this CD sucks. But at
one
least,
song is good, and the rest is suck. Yeah.
with you have three pieces of something. I'm like, okay, that if there's three good songs on our, chances are the whole thing is probably good.
Exactly. Yeah,
You
you
can
that's
listen
a
to more
major
than
point right
one.
there. That's a major
Yeah.
point you're saying right there.
I think that's great.
That's why I did it, because you know, then it let people know, because I didn't want people buying stuff and not be happy with it, because then they wouldn't come back. So I was always being honest, and I try to put two, at least two on there or three, and then, but then they could maybe check into it, trying to find something else later, more on the band, if they really want to search it out. But that's, even my wife, she's a big 80s fan, and that's how we met at a CD show, that she'd be so mad because you hear one song on the radio, you go buy the CD, and the rest of the CD sucked. So she'd take it back and trade in, you know, and pay $15 and get one song and just like whatever, you know.
Well, yeah, see, kids now don't know how lucky they are. They can go on Spotify and listen to an album.
Yeah.
They can go on iTunes if they have a family plan or whatever. They can listen to a whole album. You know,
for sure.
I had to work, wait tables and do whatever I needed to do to make $8 to go buy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I bought mine. You talk about, you know, things you sell in the back of magazines. I bought a lot of stuff from just seeing an ad in the back of Metal Edge or Rip. I bought, like, Roxy was a band, Drive It To You Hard was there.
Oh, yeah.
I paid $5 for it off of out of Metal Edge and got the cassette tape. You know, that's I bought a lot of that kind of stuff, you know, back in the day. That's how I learned about these people. And I always migrated to the lesser known bands. I was a fan of like Hurricane Alice, Hurricane, Heaven's Edge.
Oh, totally.
Those are the bands. Leatherwolf was one of my favorite bands that came out of the
Sunset. Oh, no kidding. Trip. Oh, cool. I love those guys. I worked at Guitar Center before Cherry Street was put together and got to know Carrie and Jeff. And they actually made t-shirts for our last tour. Because they
oh,
had
really?
A t-shirt company. Yeah, they had in Huntington Beach. And and this Michael, the singer, great guys. And I, you know, yeah, their leather was killer. And, dude, they were so great live. The triple guitar attack.
Yeah.
And they're huge, like, in Orange County, man. They just, it's thousands of people would come there and are awesome live, man. Those guys shredded.
I interviewed Michael probably been about 2 months ago. And he was, when he popped up like you did, he was, he has a cabana in his backyard, and he was drinking Mexican beer. I forget what the name. It's real popular. Modelo.
Oh yeah, that's big in Texas. I drink that all the time.
Yeah, he had a big Modelo in his hand, and he was sitting back in a chair, you know, sunshine and all. He was the nicest guy.
Oh, totally cool, dude.
I try my hardest. I try my hardest to keep this music alive because this music means so much to me. You know, I'm so proud. I grew up in the 80s, and I've told on my podcast before, the first time I ever heard a hair metal song was Night Songs by Cinderella.
Oh yeah, love
and
Cinderella.
That got me hooked, and I've never looked back. And my IG page, every day I post three videos or albums. Some people is like, who is the band? What's the name of the song? I've
Sure.
never heard of them before. I try to keep that going. I posted you guys today.
I saw that. Yeah. Thanks,
I
man.
Tagged you on Facebook. Yeah. Like I said, I just wanted you to know that I post you guys too. You know,
I appreciate it,
somebody
man.
Somebody actually hit me up on Instagram and said, what's the name of the song? And that song is off your Paris Records CD.
Oh, the Twisted Root. That CD came out because fans in Japan and stuff, you know, they had put demos on a CD, and this guy in Russia got a hold of it, and they were selling for $150. I had, you know, friends of mine in Sweden, different countries that were big fans, bought one for like over $100. I was so pissed. I contacted eBay. My wife's a lawyer. But unless you actually send them a cease and desist, all this crap, they won't do nothing. And I don't want to piss off eBay so they don't work with, you know, selling my stuff. So the best thing to do is I just put the CD out myself. I had Anthony Fox, which I've worked with from the beginning, him mastering stuff, and he mastered it and did all, I had the original photos. So everything's just clear, and they had grainy flyers. It looks like crap, the bootleg. And so that's why I put that out, because, you know, just to get it out there. So people can buy for 10, $12, $14. And get it out there and not get ripped off, and actually have the masters too. I had the DAP masters, and they had off cassettes. So yeah, the quality, and it's that's why that CD came out. A lot of people don't know that. That's why I did it, because you know, the guy in Russia and stuff.
So some of these bands that are on your label, I mean, you just produced Babylon AD's new CD?
Yeah, I didn't produce it. Just they, Derek, the singer, he's got
Yeah.
his own studio. He produced it and everything, mixed it. So basically, where I come in is I've worked with Derek for years, and like over 20 years. I met him in Vegas when he did a fest, a show out. I had a show going on out there, and so basically, just what I do is like I let the bands produce the music, all that stuff, because there's no way I could get out, do all this stuff.
Sure.
So they do the, they get the finished, music on a CD. And then I let them do the artwork, all that good stuff, because otherwise you'd be going back a million times. Oh, change this, change. So I let them do all the artwork. So basically, I get it to the CD plant. Once they finish everything, the artwork and the CD, then it comes to me. Then I get it to my CD plant, which is, and I get them all the stuff, proof everything. And then once the CDs are manufactured, and then before that, I get one sheets, and I set up. What I do is distribution. I get make sure it gets
Right.
on Amazon, gets on the list, all the one stops, the stores, CD stores. And then I had a publicist, Mike Branville. I had radio guys, Tim Binder, and various people doing radio, and Cher, and Cher's their manager, and also along with Model. So basically, yeah, so I do all the get all that stuff organized and then promote it. And but yeah, as far as like I don't actually record. I had a studio in Austin, I recorded. I've worked with a lot of guys. I've had like when I put some tributes together and recorded my band Cherry Street and Broken Teeth, I put that band together with Jason McMaster, Paul Idell. And so I recorded when I had a studio in Austin. And that was cool, because how cool is it to fly in Derek St. Holmes, the Ted Nugent, days, saying all the hits, and
Yeah.
hang out at my house for 3 or 4 days, and he sang on some tributes I did. And I'm in the studio, just me and him. Here's Derek St.
Right.
Holmes 3 feet from me singing. My friends were freaking out, because we grew up in Ted Nugent from Michigan. I'm from Michigan,
Sure.
and
Yeah.
so yeah, it's but far as like doing that, someday I might get back, and I've had offers. A lot of people hit me up in Europe and all that stuff. Now I'm slowing down. I might do some recording, but I'm not ever, I don't know. I'm not, that's all like, it's cool to have people asking me, but if that ever happens, it happens. It would be cool. But if not, I'm good with it, because I've got a legacy, man. I did a lot of stuff, and it's kind of
Yeah.
cool to relax. And it's just not, I can't drink tons of coffee. I mean, back in the day, I used to get kidney stones because I had Roc
Coffee.
Nation. I started Roc
Yeah.
Nation right after my dad passed away.
Right.
And I had 750 CD stores carrying my newspaper bi-monthly, and major chain stores, the Hastings, the Towers, the everywhere. And then at Roc Nation TV, I had it produced out of Hollywood, and two VJs, East Coast, West Coast. We interviewed everybody from Judas Priest to, some of the people I interviewed was Rob Halford, like Shinedown, and we went to festivals. And
Right.
I can't do that anymore, man, because it's like you pound so much caffeine, your body, you're just gonna put yourself in a grave, early grave, man.
Sure, you see, it's
Yeah,
not good
yeah.
for you.
But yeah, from I'm
You
going
just
ahead. I'm
spoke
sorry.
about Paul Idell. I interviewed him last week. He did my
Oh, you did?
podcast,
Oh, cool.
and Jason McMaster. I have him doing my podcast on Monday.
Monday, excellent, great guy,
You
man.
know, this podcast is nothing. It's nothing huge. I'm only on like the 24th episode, but it's so neat talking to people that I listened to their music since I was
Oh, for sure,
15. And I never, like I've told it on my podcast before, I never would imagine I would be talking to any of these people. It's hard to get some of them to do interviews. And I totally understand. And I don't push myself when I try to ask someone, I ask nicely, and I tried to type out the thing like I sent you that explains what my podcast is all about. And
sure.
I've had a lot of people that's, great. And I've had fun doing it.
That's cool.
It's neat when some people are kind of standoffish, and you have to kind of make conversation, but that's just the person they are. They're quiet anyway, and they say what they want to say, and they're done.
Yeah.
And you talked about Worlds Apart. I follow one of the guys in Worlds Apart, and he sent me a message. It's probably been 6 months ago. He said, "Why don't you show my band on your IG page?" The Worlds Apart has a video. It was, I think it was recorded around 91. I can't remember the name
Yeah.
of the song, but I put them on my IG page, and my IG page blew up. People are like, who is this band and all? And I've got out of touch with him. I can't remember his name, but I want to get him on the podcast because he
Yeah,
said, I got a
jazz.
lot of stories to tell. And that's like, that's what I like. Yeah, like a lot of the guys that were on the Sunset Strip, it's fun hearing the stories because I'm intrigued with that whole lifestyle, that whole movement, the passing out flyers, playing in the clubs, and the clubs were so close together there. You could go from one to the other, down the street,
Oh, I
up
know.
the
Yeah. Yep.
street. What's one of your favorite Sunset Strip stories with Cherry Street?
Oh my God, man, there's so
I know
many.
you have a
Yeah,
lot,
it
I'm
was
sure.
just me running into people, and me to see a you'd be standing there talking to movie stars right next to you or something, or a lot mostly to fans. You know, I was standing there right by the Roxy one time, and these two Japanese fans, and I'm talking to Corey Feldman or something, and
Wow.
these two Japanese girls, and they knew, and they just come in because people would fly in for
Yeah.
the weekend. And they're just losing their shit, man. Just like Cherry Street, oh my God. And they're like, you know, and Corey's like, what the hell? You know, I'm Corey Feldman. You know, he was kind of insulted. And they're taking pictures and signing autographs and just stuff like that was always funny. And then just playing the Whiskey Go Go after they filmed the Doors movie, Val Kilmer, and they
Yeah.
still we were doing sound check and they still had movie lights and crap in there. And that was like the night that we said, hey, everybody bring signs and stuff. We're going to, you know, have a camcorder. We said we're going to videotape it. We had a
Right.
camcorder, no big deal. But, you know, our fans would bring out, and it looked really cool. There's a video of it. It's
Yeah.
really grainy and stuff, but it's like just showed that the amount of coolest fans in the world. And it was cool. And just the Gazzaris, Bill Gazzari was always cool. He supported us. We got the first colored star.
This morning I was reading some more about Cherry Street, some more about Parish Records, and I saw that on there. That's pretty neat.
And then also on the strip that there's so many, it's like crazy. Like Carla, you know, I met this girl and it ended up being Carla Diamond from MTV. She's the one that put together like all the, you know, she'd be out producer of the shows and news and stuff
Right.
like that. And that was such a huge deal. She was so cool. And I'm pretty sure she saw our band but they did a segment on MTV when we're first starting out, when they played a few shows, pay to play. And Kurt Loder and stuff. And it was like the biggest segment. They kept running it for weeks and weeks. I mean, because they interviewed Slash, the guys in Warrant, and the only unsigned band and us is me,
Right.
Taz, and Roxy or Chris, you know, and we had our name. They had just Roxy's name on there. It was kind of funny, but it's like there's a whole full-on interview. Of course, they played like 10 seconds of it. But
Sure.
that one clip. Just, you know, we already had ads in Metal Edge, I think, and Rip. So we had our phone number in there. It was
Okay.
insane because that thing, it came out like instant, like in the clubs everywhere is like we walked around, we had Cherry Street on the back of our jackets, and we always made sure to do our hair up. It was like 10 feet tall.
Sure. Huge,
And
yeah.
and we stayed together. I always kept the band together because people didn't realize when you have a whole, you make a scene. When there's like
Yes.
three or four of the guys of the band together, I always saw that. I call it the Beatles effect. People would come to you. You know, if you're
Right.
all like split up and walking around, a lot of people never caught on to that. And we sold merch and, you know, at that whiskey show, that's the night Jane Lane came in and Eric Turner, and they saw, you know, five people at the closing band. They always had just a closer band, you know, up and coming
Sure.
band. And there's five people up at stage, and we got like 500 people. The back of the whiskey is just completely packed. They're buying shirts and hundreds of shirts and pictures and individual photos. And after that, Eric brought Joey down for more, introduced us at the next show. We had the Roxy, but it was really cool at Carla Diamond, just that MTV thing. It blew us. We started getting phone calls from Europe and girls. It was our phone rang 24/7. And then
Wow.
it was funny because I had to do, I was like the dad of the family. I had to like in the manager and everything because Jamie, our bass player, all the girls, a lot of them would want to talk to Jamie. Had long blonde hair, and they got
Sure.
mistaken for the Nelsons all the time. Him,
Yeah.
our drummer
Oh, from
Razzle.
Nelson Twins.
Yeah,
Yeah,
we even got a
right.
picture of those guys together. It was funny in the front, in the inside thing of Metal Edge because they did that. They always get
Yeah.
mistaken, and girls would call. And Jamie's such he lives here in Texas, Dallas,
Right.
and it was so funny because Jamie would just talk for hours to one fan or something like that. He just a good guy. I could never like hang up on people. So I go, dude, we've got people calling in from all over. And I had a book sell. We'd get their names, addresses. We'd send them promo stuff.
Sure.
And it's a business.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
told the guys knew right away. We had band meetings. We had everybody in a band was had jobs to do. This is a business. If you guys want to be serious, we can't be
Right.
just, we're not just, we partied.
Yeah.
We drank tons of beer and no drugs. I mean, just beer, lots
Yeah.
of fucking beer, man. But excuse my French, but
No, it's
it's
fine.
it
Yeah.
was a business. And by doing it that way, that I had to keep the phone, okay, limit it so much time on a phone call. And and it was crazy. I hated being like, I tried to almost like answer the phone, direct phone calls, everything. But I'm telling you, the amount of merch, t-shirts, and I mean individual photos and buttons that paid our rent,
Wow.
and nobody in the band had to have jobs because we had to rent pay and all that stuff. We had in the beginning, we had some jobs, but I got the band on
Sure.
tour nationwide, playing, and making good, notes. We weren't even on a label. It wasn't even Paris Records at that time. So a lot
You
of
toured
people
with a
don't.
lot of cool bands.
Yeah, we played shows. The only tours we did was at the last one we had. Our record came out. It was Us, Tough, and My Hero, and that was like. Other than that, we opened for Dangerous Toys, Foreigner, Pretty Boy
Yeah.
Floyd, just boatloads of bands everywhere. We did a lot of just mostly headline to clubs, and
Yeah.
they would put local bands, and because we get paid really good money. And we'd come in and do like a Saturday night in Texas and Colorado, a few states. We just banked. We'd clean up and make enough money to do a short run, like 1 week run in Texas, 1 week in Colorado. We'd pay our rent and everything. We were set for quite a while. Yeah, it's crazy times. But there's so
That
many
is so
like the
cool.
Sunset Strip. There's so many good times, man.
I like I say the whole thing fascinates me. My only vision or things I've seen with the Sunset Strip was, of course, decline of Western civilization, and you get a kind of a feel of what, Grisari's was like, and the flyers and the bands being outside, and it's like I said, it would have been neat to have experienced that whole thing, but there were so many bands in Hollywood. This one looked like this one. This one looked like that one.
Oh, yeah.
To hear, Cherry Street, you guys selling merch and being able to pay your rent. I was talking to David Reese. He played in Bangalore Choir,
Yep. Oh,
and
yeah. I don't know personally.
sang on Generation Clash on the Accept album. He said, after gigs, we would go down the street and see if someone's door just happened to be unlocked, and you crawl in the back seat and sleep all night long because you didn't have nothing to eat, you didn't have nowhere to go.
Yeah, back then it was, our rent was a we had a 3-bedroom, and we had a garage downstairs. We turned into a studio. We soundproofed it. I never had one noise complaint because
Sure.
we didn't use big amps and drums. But it's even back then, it was like around $1,000 a month. That was a lot because I mean you could get an
Yeah.
apartment back in Texas or somewhere for $200,
Yeah.
even
Wow.
back then. Now though that apartment's funny, and I'm sure it's probably like $4,000 a month now.
Sure. I'm sure it is. Yeah,
It was
especially in
very
LA.
expensive. Yeah, it was crazy. But we had a lot of fans, and I did the thing when I remember talking to Cece DeVille, Ren and him, and about talking about fans, and he says, just line them up, and I ended up getting a calendar down, and we had girls, they'd all like, say, we want to come over and we want to bring you Taco Bell or pizza, and it was funny because we got so much pizza, we said, okay, no pizza, no pizza.
No pizza. Yeah, we
Not
had
for a
enough
while, it was
pizza.
cool, the pizza. But we actually had a calendar, and we'd have fans come over, like, every night. It was just insane, and bring us food, and we had to, they just, it was awesome, man. They totally support us. And because back then, it was crazy, because if you want to play music, we pretty much rehearse. We had our own studio, and then we'd go out full on, big hair, everything, all the concerts, and we'd all stand out in the front, and we always make a scene, man. We had tons of flyers promoting our next show. We tried to do a show every 2 months or something in Hollywood. And yeah, it was crazy, man, because you just had to work as a job, man. That's the whole thing. A lot of people don't understand that. It wasn't just a party. way they did that in Hollywood, there was a millions of bands,
Sure.
and you could pass out flyers, and some of the bands would give their tickets to the girls. But then, you know, if you get it free, and all of a sudden they see, oh, I like this guitar player in this band better. Let's go see that band. So this band just gave her a ticket. They had, they'd make you do like 100 pre-sales or something. And
Right.
we'd always see, I turn it into a business where it, I loved it because there's so much going on in Hollywood and people are kind of flakes that you got about a 90% chance they're going to show up if they pay 10 bucks for a ticket.
Right, yes.
Because they're going to say, wait a minute, you know, unless they could resell it, they're going to pretty much show up to the show. You're locking people in, new people, like we are diehard fans. And we wouldn't do 100. We wouldn't do 200. We do 300,
Wow.
400. Like the first time we played the Troubadour, we kept going back and getting tickets. And they're like freaking out. Like we only, I think we played her twice. And because we want to get up on the strip, you want to be on Sunset,
Sure,
like at
yeah.
Gazzari's, the Roxy, Whiskey. We sold. And then the thing is, other bands would bitch about it, but they had to give them away and nobody would show up or they'd sell some. But we locked in where we knew we were going to have 300, 400, 500 fans plus walk-ups. And they give you a
Yeah,
percentage. They
yeah.
ask the people at the doors. I loved it because that's how we got on MTV. It was about pay to play. So not
Yes.
only did it, having pay to play launch us on MTV, we never would have had that. We never would have been in
Wow.
an interview about pay to play that I loved it because we sold so much and we had all that money 6 weeks before the show. I'd go to BAM, I'd go to Rock City News and buy more ads and draw in more walk-ups. I mean, it was just
Yeah.
a growing process of promotion that, you know, a lot of bands, all pay to play sucks, blah, blah, blah. But some bands refuse to do it. And they do like a weekday stuff at the Whiskey or No Bozo Jams ahead and they or Coconut Teaser. But we turned it around where, you know, we had it work for us big time. You
Yeah.
know, and if you're a weak band and you're starting out, yeah, that's a bitch. You got to come up with that money, and they're still doing pre-sale today.
Yeah.
But they have, you know, it's like you have a bunch of bands because otherwise they wouldn't have hardly anybody in the clubs, man. If they didn't like have the bands getting a guaranteed money, plus the clubs take the money when now they're bringing in like Vane or they'll bring down like some of my bands, Babylon D, the Whiskey Go Go, and Heaven's Edge. They just brought them out from the East Coast. They get
Yeah.
like eight, nine bands. It kind of sucks if you go there real early and go through a bunch of bands, but that money they get from all the bands helps pay for the headliner to fly them in.
Oh,
And
I see.
so it's,
Yeah.
yeah, it's, they treat it as a business. And that's why the Whiskey Go Go is still going. You know, all these
Well,
other venues aren't.
me and my wife always go to M3 every year in Maryland,
Oh,
Hidden
I've heard
Dark
all about
Festival.
that. Yeah.
Yeah, we've gone out to that the last 3 or 4 years, and I love going there because I see bands, you know, being on the East Coast. I never saw a lot of these, you never saw these bands. I mean, really, unless they were on a tour that just happened to, you
Oh,
know,
for
come
sure.
through the East Coast. I never saw Vane in my life, and Vane was one of my favorite bands
Oh, cool.
back in the day.
They're
And
great live.
you know, I finally got to see Vane a couple of years ago at M3, and it was the original
Yep.
lineup. And I actually got to meet Tommy Rickard and Joe Proto. Is that his name? He's a guitar
Not
player.
sure. I only really dealt with, I knew Jamie, but I miss being most 99% of the time I talked to Davey Vane. You know, that's
Davey.
because I did their On a Line CD and he
Yes.
sang on my Aerosmith tribute CD, which was really cool. Davey Vane. So, you know, I was always in touch with those cats and then I helped him sell some of his, he had an independent CD, a solo CD and stuff. But yeah, Vane, I saw him in Vegas back then. It was just like killer, man. Just Davey's voice
Oh
and the whole
yeah.
band, they sound just like the record, man. Just like the record.
Yes. Well, they played No Respect. They played the whole No Respect album. I mean,
Oh,
that's the
excellent.
greatest.
Oh, yeah.
That is one of the greatest 80s hair metal albums, glam, what do you want everyone to call it, in my opinion. They played the whole thing, and Davey's got a voice. When you hear it, you know exactly who it is. But
Oh, yeah.
the cool thing about them, and I've put them on my IG page a few times since, because Tom, the drummer, did my podcast last year. Great guy, Tommy, and I had fun talking to him. But they have so many great songs, and all people ever refer to is No Respect. Well, they have a whole lot. They just came out with Cold Like Snow, a song
I'll have to
called
check it out.
Cold.
I haven't seen it. I'll probably go on YouTube or check them out.
It's off
Spotify.
there, the latest album
Yeah.
they just put out. It's Cold Like Snow, and there's a video, and it sounds just like it should have been on No Respect.
That's cool. They're keeping that going because I hate it when bands change their,
Oh,
they're just.
that's what kills me about. I'm paying, me and my wife save up money for a whole year to go to M3 because
Sure.
it's
Oh,
not cheap. And I get this, like I said, I get to see bands. I've never seen Pretty Boy Floyd before. I've never seen Leatherwolf before. Is it the original incarnation of Leatherwolf? No, it's the drummer's
Yeah,
Leatherwolf
Dean. Yeah, Dean's the other way. Yep.
theme. But they still played Hideaway. They still
Yeah.
played Thunder. They still, but anyway, and I've never seen Lillian Axe before. Lillian Axe was one of my favorite bands from that era. But anyway, I get to see those bands, and I just wish you could tell these musicians, go play what people want to hear you play.
Yeah.
Don't play the new stuff, because I'm telling you, they're really not listening to some of this stuff you guys are putting out now. I'm just being honest.
That's the problem because a lot of people, the 90s, the grunge, loads of bands I work with, I let them do what they want to do, and some
Sure.
will work, some didn't, they just, but you gotta, because the people, you got, the whole thing is, a pet peeve of me is that I get a band that sends some new band that I've never seen or heard of, they send me something, and I can play the song, and I can't even tell you the name of the song. I can't tell you
Sure.
what's the chorus, and they're just shooting themselves in the foot, man.
Yes.
Because if you don't have a chorus or even like
Yes.
hooks, I mean, they might have a few like kind of like hooks,
Right.
but the thing is, what they didn't have 20 years ago is the studios. Now you can make stuff, but the quality is like right up
Oh,
there with the big bands of the in the past. But that doesn't matter, man. If you don't have the song, it doesn't matter. It's not, it just, oh, it sounds great. Oh man, these drums sound great. The guitars, the singer's not bad. Everything's mixed great, but what's the name of the song? I can't even, I don't even know what it is. And I can listen, I'll flip through a song. I don't sit there and listen to a full song. I'll
yeah.
clip through it, look for the chorus, because I get so much. And I wish bands would do that. You got to stay to what your true fans, you can't change. Like it's Spinal Tap. Everybody needs, all these musicians need to watch Spinal Tap movie and go, this is what happens, and do
Right.
not do it, but they still do it. They
Right.
still do it, man.
Well, it's great that it's great to go to like M3 because you have my generation is there, and then you might see a 8-year-old kid walking around with a Bullet Boys t-shirt on. I'm
Oh, yeah.
just glad that the music, my daughter, her birthday was yesterday, she's 25, and
Oh, cool. Very
my
cool.
daughter started listening to hair metal. If she got in my pickup truck and got in her car seat when she was 3, 4, 5 years old, she was listening to Heaven's Edge. She was
Oh, no
listening
kidding.
to Lillian
Cool, cool.
Axe. And she loves that music to this day. And it's great to see younger generations taking on this music because in my opinion, it was the greatest era of time. It was the greatest era of music. It was about having fun.
Oh, for sure, man.
It was about drinking, cruising in your car. It was about big hair. It was about leather. It was just about having a lot of fun. I'm just glad I lived in that time. And I'm so glad that you have a record label that has so many of these bands that a lot of people have never heard of before, but if they'll get the CD sampler, they'll get to hear a lot of bits and pieces of bands that if they'll discover it, they'll love it because they were never put on the radio. They were never videos or anything. I love looking at clips of these bands on YouTube that somebody took at the Whiskey A Go-Go. Yeah, it looks terrible, grainy footage, but you get to see what they look like and see what it was, what the Sunset Strip was all about and
Oh,
where
back when
the
back,
youth
it's so grainy, man, because the camcorder we had just such
were.
poor quality compared to now. People have phones. It's like
Oh,
they can
sure.
shoot, like there's people have used phones in the clips in the movies, man. It's like night and
Yeah.
day difference. It's crazy, man.
Can you
Like,
imagine what kind of footage would be from the Sunset Strip if they'd had iPhones back in the 80s? There
oh
would be
yeah,
some cool stuff on there.
it's technology and stuff. But then again, too, if we had the technology back then, we who knows what would have happened, because people wouldn't have bought CDs. Everything's free, and it
Yes,
wouldn't have been
right.
a
You're
huge
right.
market. And I Paris Records probably would never would have been, because everybody would have been just go online. Everything's free, and now the kids, like my nephews and kids I know, like they've never bought a CD in their life. Some of
Right.
them, and they just go buy a CD or buy something, man. We just get it. We don't even download it. We get it. We just go on Spotify. It's free,
Yeah,
and
exactly. That's right. You're right.
They don't know. They have no idea, So if we had all that, if that, I know, I look back and thought, I was telling my wife, like, we had the internet, Cherry Street. we had all these email addresses. So we come to town, we'd have 400 people. But then she goes, you got to realize that you might not have the internet, but there's a bazillion things going on. So it's just, you can't, you know, it's hard to really guess, you know, and play Monday morning quarterback on the sofa.
There you go. Well, sir, I love your record label. I think you're doing a great job. Thank you for putting this stuff out the last 30 years, 35 years.
Yeah, 30 is Paris and a little longer than that, but then I did Monroe Promotion. Yes, it's been a while. It's been a while.
And everybody needs to go out and Google Cherry Street. They'll love the music. You guys put out some good stuff. There's a few videos of Cherry Street out there. You just got to look hard enough.
Yep. Get them on YouTube. That's for sure.
Well, sir, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, man. I totally appreciate it. Thank you so much. And I'll definitely, let's share this. When you put it up, I'll share it on Facebook all over. I don't do Instagram. I just got a Facebook account, but I'll definitely plaster it all over Facebook for sure.
Well, thank you so much, sir. And God bless you.
God bless you. Take care. Have a good day, buddy. Take care.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, all right. Bye-bye.